Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker and joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hi Ronnie, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on over there, Ben? You got your air conditioner fixed.
I did. I'm a human again. Yesterday was it was pure torture. We did so much recording yesterday. We did a lot and I was just melting. But now it's cold again in this place, and I'm like a human being again. What's going on with you?
Back to business. Nothing. I just made some chickpea tuna salad.
Oh, fun.
Instead of using tuna, you use chickpeas. Oh, so that was fun. I was just mixing mayonnaise and mashing chickpeas. So, you know, my life is worth living. That's the exciting life I'm living over here.
That's everybody. Like a, it's almost like a mayo hummus.
Kind of. But it does taste like tuna. It's weird.
But you're not, but you eat tuna though, right? Like, because you're
sometimes,
you're vegetarian.
I don't eat that much of it. Yeah, I'm like a pescatarian, but I don't eat that much fish. I usually eat it if I'm at a restaurant or something because I'm a vegetarian meal at a restaurant is
rough.
Not the easy. Yeah. They're like, here's a pretzel and a carrot stick. Okay, yeah. You rabbit. And they always look at you like you.
I always
ruining
think,
our lives.
I always think of, was it Top Chef Masters or was it just Top Chef when they had to make like vegetarian food or maybe vegan food for Zooey Deschanel, and the chefs just like did not know what to do with themselves. They were just like, well, I think vegan. It was just vegetarian. I think it was just vegetarian.
No, it was vegan. She's full on vegan. Yeah, I mean, that was crazy because they had to make like almond milk and, you know, all that stuff that they're like, what the hell? But vegetarian, you know, what I do is easy. It's not hard. Okay. And it's mostly bread and potatoes. Like, that's my diet anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways. So it's a good, but I remember when Anthony Bourdain used to scream at vegetarians when he was judging food shows, it would crack me up. He'd be like, loser, I'm not voting for a vegetarian.
Well, speaking of food, we got Southern Charm today and they put out quite the spread of food because they were having a Friendsgiving. Before we dive into that, though, join us for Winter's Crappening. We are recapping House of the Dragon single. Normally we have that recap up on Mondays. We are taking Monday off. It's Labor Day here in the United States. So Winter's Crappening will be up on Tuesday as well as our normal Monday recaps. There will also be No Take a Seat this week because, again, Labor Day. So if you see no new content on Monday, that's why. So but you know what, though? If you just subscribe to Winter's Crappening, it has its own feed. If you subscribe to it, the content will arrive when it's there, so you don't have to even worry about when things are going to be there because it will just show up. So go ahead
also,
and subscribe.
Then it's an onslaught of content because it's Atlanta, Winter is Crappening, Below Deck.
Real Girlfriends in Paris
begins next week. Beverly Hills, Southern Charm, it's just going to go crazy, so don't worry, there's going to be plenty to listen to. But yeah, this Southern Charm was pretty much just watching people bring food in from their trunk.
Yeah, watching people bring food in and also having my formerly very high esteem of Paige continue to descend. Oh, I'm so sad. I'm so sad when someone I really liked just like, you know, I stop liking them as much. I hold on for the bitter end. I really do until I can't hold on anymore.
I have to say, I feel like she saved it at the end. What really bugs me, though, is watching the online commenters go crazy like this is between Naomi and Paige. Guys, Craig is a fucking compulsive liar. How can you even be villainizing these two dum-dums when it's Craig? It's all Craig. Craig is going to Paige and saying Naomi's trying to get him back and she's doing all this creepy stuff. And people online are like, oh yeah, Naomi's so creepy trying to come for Craig. Get away from Craig. What has Naomi done to show any interest in Craig? She went to tea to talk to him about acting fucking crazy. Like,
yeah.
What has she done? I just don't understand. I feel like I'm missing something.
I think that people are forgetting that Naomi dumped Craig, everyone. Naomi was the one who dumped him, okay? I do not see anything that says, well, what's the opposite of buyer's or buyer's remorse? Seller's remorse? I mean, sure, they hooked up, but like, whatever, that's a mutual thing. It does not, why is it that if they hook up, why is it that she is the one who still has feelings, but not he who is the one who has feelings? Why is it that way? Why is it that she is just like this, you know, desperate, needy ex who, because she no longer has a man, therefore must have like feelings for Craig? No, she was the one who got rid of Craig in the first place. So I don't.
Yeah, and this
I
whole like, well, she had sex with him in Vegas. Yeah, he had sex with her. He was the one seeing Paige, and then he was the one still calling her and hanging out and telling Paige he should be able to hang out with her. And Paige put the kibosh on that, and then he acted like a psychopath to make himself look better for Paige, like Naomi stalking Craig. I mean, it's just bullshit. It makes me so mad. I can't believe people aren't pissed off at Craig, and instead they're like, Naomi's a bitch.
They're always, or Paige they're always is a bitch,
or whoever, you know, like, he's leading everybody to act crazy, and then he just stands back like, I boiled a turkey, and everyone's like, oh my god, he is so cute.
I totally agree. The men just sort of get away. Like, people will be like, ugh, so annoying, but like the knives and the venom really comes out for the women. People will be mad at the men, but not in the same way as they are for the women. And we see this like really across the board for all these shows, which is, I think, really unfortunate. But anyway, it's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So it starts out, the episode starts with Taylor collecting laundry, which feels like it's a metaphor of something with her relationship with Shep. And then, but shockingly, we also see Shep.
No, this is a metaphor for her relationship with Shep. She says, I don't care if these are dirty or clean. I'm just doing it all anyway. I was like, you know, you need to rethink that strategy. I don't think it's working out for you, okay?
He's like,
cut to Shep.
Yeah, cut to Shep with little Craig in his, like, haunted house laundry room. And he's like putting stuff in the dryer. He's like, Craig, this is called de-wrinkling. It's something that was developed during the Vietnam War. Anyway, I know you don't wear clothes. You're always naked. You're such a slut dog. Wow, slut face.
Oh my God, you always wear fur. You better watch out for PETA. They'll spray paint you. You woke little idiot. But yeah, that basement laundry room is something. It's like he's doing laundry on the set of Saw. Like,
I know, dude, that's what I was gonna say.
Out, run.
There's like a Tide bottle that's like shackled to the floor. So
it's like, should I cut off my handle? Should I cut off my own handle?
Inanimate Saw coming soon. So then we cut to Olivia unpacking her suitcase, which is as thrilling as it sounds. And then we finally wind up going to Patricia's house, where Patricia is doing the unthinkable, arranging pillows herself outside. She's like, well, I guess
sad.
I don't have any good help anymore, so I guess I'll be the one to move a pillow a few inches. Wow, that was exerting.
This was sad. This was like watching post-hurricane footage, you know, when they're like, the town was decimated. And there's just, you know, one sad, rich lady doing her own pillow arrangements.
Poking around the stuff.
Bethany's like, oh my God, I gotta help. So she just, a big plane flies from overhead and just like drops a cash card on Patricia's head. There, go to Applebee's. Go to Applebee's.
This is a crisis, huh? This is a crisis. So Whitney comes out. He's like, oh, mother, it's a bit nippy out, mother. I think it's nice, but then again, I have worked myself up into a heat, what with moving all these pillows around.
So he has made her lunch. He's brought her a 1998 fish bowl. And she's like, oh, one of my favorites. Oh, and I like brie. This isn't brie, but I do like brie, so just tell that to the next person who replaces you. All right. We have silver cheese implements. And is this a paper napkin? Whitney, you should know better. Should he? Should he? Because I feel like the napkins have always been put in his hand. He's just a rich kid. He'll use whatever you put in his hand. Put a fucking tailpipe there. He'll wipe his face with it. Okay? No.
That's an interesting visual. He's like, mother, we're outside. Do you want a linen napkin or a tailpipe? And she's like, well, of course. Anything's better than this paper napkin bull crap. Won't say the S word. No cursing.
He spends a lot of time at Joel Silver's house, okay? One thing Whitney needs are paper towels. Just get off his ass.
So Austin calls up And so Whitney puts him on speaker. He's like, oh, I'm talking with my mom. I made lunch. It's her favorite thing, but I forgot to bring out the napkins. I think she's mad at me. So
wine, cheese, and French bread. Hello, Austin. And he's like, later this week, I'm having a Friendsgiving at my aunt's house. I love you, but stop. All right, Cookie. Robert, thanks for the news flash.
I know. I loved Patricia just declaring wine, cheese, and French bread. You know she does that just around the house. She'll like walk into a room and just go, wine, cheese, and French bread. That's how I sage a space.
Randy's just shaking in a corner somewhere in the fetal position.
Yeah, I know. He can't hear those words anymore. So Austin is like, Patricia asks, like, who's coming over? Or Whitney says, you should fax us over the guest list. And Austin's like, well, everyone's coming. Everyone. Like Craig and Paige and Shep and Taylor and Catherine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so Patricia's like, let me talk to him. Hi, this is a rich lady. I just want to let you know it's not et cetera, it's et cetera. Please tell me you don't say espresso also.
Espresso, et cetera. All right. She's like, so of the group, I'm closest to Madison and Naomi. Are they going to be coming? He's like, well, Naomi is. And Whitney, I can't believe you're going SAG, Whitney. Are you going SAG, Whitney? Or are you going to bring Naomi? She's like, why? What? What? Naomi? What? Oh, my God.
Basically, Austin outs this to his mother, which is, by the way, still yet another obnoxious move by Austin. He really is so bad about this, and he gets so flummoxed when people do the same thing to him. So Patricia's like, oh, my God. And then we cut over to Naomi's house, where her cat Omelette is walking around. I already love Omelette.
Omelette's That's not like, a good name for a cat.
I love it.
You know how many cats die from falling off of high places? And people are like, oh my God, the cats can jump from anywhere. They can't, you know? And you know who knows that? All the dead cats splattered all around the place. Don't name your possibly future splattered cat Omelette. I like it.
What's wrong? What, because the cat will be in the shape of an omelet when it splatters?
Yes, because it's going to be cracked like an egg, okay? You don't name your cat after dangerous ways they could die.
Well, no, I mean, it would be bad if the cat was named Over Easy, you know, or Sunny Side Up. That's more of like a splattered cat, but an omelet is very well composed. Yeah, or scrambled, you know?
Yeah, it's just so low rent too, like frittata, you know? No, if you're going to go there.
No, omelet, because see, when I think of omelet in the context of Naomi, I think of like a beautiful little French omelet with like little chives on. I think of like an adorable Julia Child omelet that's like fancy, and then you eat it, and there's like a little salad on the side, and you feel so sophisticated. I mean, maybe this is just me getting ready for Real Girlfriends in Paris, but that's the sort of omelet I'm thinking of. I'm not thinking of like going to Joellen's diner and a 10-egg omelet flopping over onto your plate.
Yeah, that's how I think of it. Also, you know, I lived in L.A. a long time, and you really have to worry about your pets in those hills. And yeah. I don't know. Don't name your pet after food products either.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I feel like Colonel Gizmo really, you know, was authoritative. And like if a coyote came down, Colonel Gizmo would be like, excuse me, I am a decorated soldier.
But yeah, Gizmo, just, like, that's I'm a power treat. Name. You know, it's like really cute, but it'll fuck with you if you ever try and give it a bath.
Yeah, I miss Colonel Gizmo, but I'm here for Omelette. I'm here for Omelette. I like that Omelette is a big fat cat, and I always think it's so funny how fat cat owners are always in such denial about their cat being fat. Like anytime you say, "Wow, your cat's really fat," they're always like, "They're not fat. Don't say that. Don't say that." It's like, well, I'm sorry, it's a fat cat.
Well, you know, I have to say, as someone with we're just going to disagree all day today. So I'm just warning the listeners, if you don't want to cringe the whole time, then go away, because we're going to fight over this one. Because my mother is always saying, oh, that is the ugliest, fattest dog. She's so mean to my dog. She calls him ugly. She calls him fat. And I get so upset, you know, like who does that? And also, it's like a Tumblr thing, like from back in the day where people would be like, my cat's not fat, he's chonky, but they would spell it chonky.
Yeah.
And then it like translated into girls saying that. They're like, I love myself, I'm chonky. And so I just get triggered talking about chonky animals and chonky this and chonky that. I'm like, what just happened? Let's just be fat. Let's just all be fat and happy, okay? I don't need you to misspell chonky to make me feel better about myself, okay? I'm not chonky, I'm fat. Well, and I love it. I've earned this skin sleeping bag, and I'm not changing it.
Okay, well, first and foremost, we were talking about a cat and you've somehow taken it over to your own personal life. Second of all, like when you call it, like to me, when you say, look at that fat cat, it's usually like in a term of endearment because they're like so cute because there's like a, it's like a big fat cat, you know? But I have found that every time I'm like, oh my God, look at this big, like this, I love this cat, so big and fat. And people be like, it's not fat. He's not fat. And I can understand if someone said, don't call my cat fat, that's fine. But when people say like, my cat's not fat and their belly is just like dragging on the ground, I'm like, listen, this is when it comes to cats, it's different. It's different rules in terms of body shaming. It's not the same as like with humans. I would never say it to a human, right? Because humans have,
well, but see, that's like the thing. That's why it's offensive, because you're saying it to a human, like you're saying it to a Bueller cat, but you're not really saying it to a cat. You're saying it to the owner, like, oh, look at you. You can't take care of your cat. Your cat's fat. You slovenly.
No,
fat
I blame
bitch.
The cat. I blame the cat. I actually do not blame the owner at all. The cat, like, that's just like the cat just loves to go at it, you know? And I just think it's adorable. But I just also think it's funny when owners like refuse to admit it. Like everyone wants to think they have like a sleek, you know, cat that's yeah. like a little cheetah, and it's like, no, you got a fat cat, like embrace
the desire
it.
For thinness like is projected onto our pets.
Yeah,
so funny.
I know,
my dog said he's thin.
I'm gonna get angry emails. I already can tell, Ben. This is about something larger than cats. So anyway, the point is I support Omelette. I support Omelette's journey and I support Omelette's name.
Okay. I support Omelette. I don't support fat shaming it, and I don't support naming it after a food product while you're fat shaming
it. I'm not fat shaming it. I'm fat.
Not you personally, not you, just like the world.
I'm being fat supportive of Omelette.
So that got dark. I don't know why. It was a cat conversation. So then the French mom is there. Okay, so it's about to get darker. Okay, so we've got French mom in the house, okay? I don't know if anybody else was traumatized by this classic Oprah episode years ago that starred the woman of who authored a book called French, Why Dumb. French Women Are Thin.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that was
this
called.
This explains a
but
lot.
But fuck
of
that
scene,
lady,
yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Fuck that lady. She came on with like her, it's not even called a pashmina because she's French, her shawl or whatever. And she's like, oh, American women don't know how to stop. We can eat anything we want. We just have bite here. You want a croissant? A bite of croissant. I was like, okay, French Yolanda Foster, get the fuck out of here. Get off of Oprah. How dare you? How dare you besmirch the Oprah show with this nonsense? Clear her! And so that's the mom right now. She's like, your cat is fat. Why cannot he just have a tiny bite of fish? Why?
Yeah. Naomi's like, you gotta stop calling him fat, mom. She's like, fine. Rotund. Mom, that's a synonym. So,
mom, we're going with chonky now. Oh, jeez.
It is just an omelet with lots of stuffing in it, but the omelet itself is not inherently fatter.
So, man. So, Naomi tells her about going to Old Brass. I don't know if Old Brass is like getting residuals from having its name said so much, but they say it a lot.
They say it a lot.
And she talks about how she had too much fun, and her mom's like, oh, what is this supposed to mean? As much fun as omelette? Not, apparently not, because look at this fat bastard.
This fat bastard must have been in Las Vegas, kitty Las Vegas, because look how fat your cat is. Mom!
And she's like, well, we're supposed to stay one night, but I stayed extra night with Whitney. And it was like very surprising. And, you know, and she's like, oh, you said you know like this? Your eye didn't roll for one entire syllable? You boned Whitney? Oh, yes. Good for you.
And Naomi's like, yeah, it like never came into my mind that I might be attracted to Whitney. So I don't really know when that change happened, but yeah, I'm gonna go with it because life is weird and apparently so is my sex life now. Cool.
I'll tell you when the change happened. When he inherited like $100 million last month or whatever it was. So the mom's like, well, you know, he's older. It's better fit for you. You know, you're smart. You've been through a lot and you've got the bitchy attitude of a 60-year-old woman. So
you'll need someone who's been through life a little bit, but not actually done anything in life to understand you.
They're old physically, but a clean slate mentally, which is what we need.
So she's like, that is such a French thing for you to say, mom. She's like, okay, well, here's another French thing to say. Your cat is fat, mom.
Rotund.
Votre chat. Votre chat est grande.
So then we go over to Whitney and Pat, and Whitney's like, wow, that brie, it's amazing, Mom. And she's like, oh, so don't try and change the subject. You and Naomi talk about an awkward cheese. And the violins are like, blink, 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 blink. It's like very nervous violins. Randy's just plucking a nervous violin in the corner. And she's like, if you would settle down and get married before I kick the bucket, don't feel pressure, but I'm living on borrowed time. I might shuffle out any day now.
One bread cheese. You'll just hear my ghost yelling that in the hallways.
One bread cheese. The ghost of Christmas always. One bread. Every act is the same. One bread cheese.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to Craig and Paige, and they have to go. They're going to the store to get a turkey. And Paige is like, I've actually never been to a Friendsgiving. I must not have any friends, which is kind of shocking that she hasn't been to one. So she's like, is Naomi, your crazy, bonkers, super psycho ex-girlfriend, going to be at Friendsgiving?
Is Glenn Close going to be there boiling any bunnies for Thanksgiving? She's never at Friendsgiving because I think she's at home all the time. She's very close with her mom. You know, they talk about the sexy lasagna every Thanksgiving.
No.
And Craig does his, like, faux yawn thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, Naomi, oh, yawn. Oh, I don't care about her. And she's like, yeah, I mean, he says, I think she's lost.
Well, he goes, he says, I don't care, because he says that she's dating Whitney now, and she goes, well, they're not boyfriend and girlfriend. I think he was saying she's dating Whitney to get Paige to stop being so, like, nutso about this, which she's nutso because Craig wound her up, but she's like, whatever, that doesn't count. So now he's like, whatever, like, she's just lost. What? Why is Naomi lost? What? Where? Like, first of all, she just got out of, like, a hellish relationship. And now she's just like chilling out back at home. That doesn't make her lost. So Craig is like, I can relate to being lost, but I didn't end up banging Whitney. I'm like, yeah, but you wound up with Kristen Cavallari for a second. So there's that.
Yeah. You did a live with what's her face?
Tommy Lahren.
Tommy Lahren. Yeah. I can't listen to your lost accusation, sir. So Paige is like, well, if I was banging Whitney, I'd be thinking about you too. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm really glad that they're together. Like, I'm so happy about it. Like, he's like bringing out all his greatest hits of showing that he's unbothered. He's like, I will officiate the wedding. If this means Naomi's going to back off of me, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm like, I still have not seen any evidence that she's like really all up in your business, but that's fine. So Paige is like, if anyone thinks Naomi is over you, they're an idiot. Okay, that's why when I first saw her at Catherine's birthday, the first thing I said to her was, girls expect girls to fight. And it's like, no, we don't have the time. So I'm going to spend the rest of this episode kind of fighting with her.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, and she agreed with me. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe she's like a real girl. And he says, yeah, but like, I was like perfectly fine with her. And old breath. She's like, well, yeah, obviously, because she's going to do anything for you to say, like, that she's been cool. You're an idiot, Craig.
So now, like, Naomi can't be chill. Like, they want Naomi to be chill, but when she acts chill, it's like, oh, it's obviously a front. So, like, what can she do? So then they go.
She didn't pull you aside, and now you have a problem that she didn't pull you aside? Like, what the fuck? And then you have a problem when she does. Like, what the hell do you want for the Naomi is coming into this with no energy at all, which is cracking me up. It's not even like she has positive energy or negative energy. She's just, like, rolling eyes energy.
Yeah. You know? So then they wind up at a grocery, like a quote unquote grocery store. It was sort of like a little market. And Craig's like,
that looked like a bait shop.
Yeah.
What were they doing? That's like a side of the road. Like, we sell fresh bait, live bait, and beef jerky.
It was like a little gourmet shop. And Craig's like, I love going to the grocery store, which it was not. It's like, they're just fun. It's so fun. I'm like, he has never been to a grocery store in LA. Now, admittedly, I love going to the grocery store too. I will not push back on this. But like, I don't think he's been traumatized by people in Los Angeles in a grocery store. Like, and how, like, people talk about LA driver, like LA traffic. LA traffic doesn't even compare to LA grocery store cart traffic. Okay, because that is the, it's just like you might as well just like not even move. You might as well just stand at the door and call out what you need and hope someone throws it to you.
I know, and he's obviously never done New York City grocery shopping either, where Paige is from, because she's like, wow, look at this, you know, huge. So what are we in the Sam's? This is huge. So they start shopping and Craig gives us his, worldly advice. He's like, yeah, doing chores with her is really good. And it might sound silly, but like, if you can have fun in the grocery store with someone, you're a really good couple.
I actually don't think that theory is too far off, to be honest, believe it or not. It sounded like ridiculous, but I was like, I actually think that's a pretty good theory.
I'm always alone, so I don't know. So then he's reading the ingredients that they need to get. She's like, whoa, slow down. I can't, okay? In New York, this is all in one aisle, and it's about as big as my knee. It's about as wide as my knee, so I'm going to need time.
Paige is like, wait a second, are we buying more things than can be carried in one bag in our own hands? This is wild down here. Is this how grocery stores work?
This is how, like, cowboys did it. Is this going to be in a saloon, this party? So he's picking up sweet Italian sausage. And she's like, you already have one.
Hey, is there a sausage called possessive crazy bitch? Because you also have that, too. So,
oh my god, that sausage is following you. That sausage is following you. Okay, it went in the other aisle. Fucking crazy bitch. I'm gonna tell that crazy bitch sausage off.
Oh my god, that sausage just pulled Craig aside right in front of me at a grocery store where we're supposed to be fostering our love.
The guy's like, you want to check out? He's like, stop trying to pull me aside. This is fucking ridiculous. I have a girlfriend.
Stop checking me out, okay? So Madison, now we go over to Madison, and she's like at a personal trainer's place. Gunner and Vanita shows up, and Madison is like, "Body, yaddy, 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 Megan the Stallion." So then she's like, "My workout routine is 5 to 6 days a week. My fiance is hot as fuck, so I have to work out. Unlike my exes, who all were ugly, whoever they were. Thanks so much, Amazon Live."
I own more athleisure than actual clothes. Probably 100 pairs of leggings, 50 sports bras, 10 sneakers, a flat tire. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Austin shirtless. He's not there anymore. Sorry, Amazon. Can we start over? Reroll. Reroll.
My wedding dress is going to be Lululemon. So now, like, they're working out, and Vanita, who's there, is like, I love Madison to death, but my God, if she ever asked me to work out again, I might end the friendship. And that's a wrap on me for today. Okay, thanks, everyone. That's pretty much all she gets, essentially.
So she's like, well, you know, Vanita may not like it, but she better call me after she has a baby, because things change. Thank God for plastic surgery.
So she talks about, you know, how excited she is to get married and how Hudson loves the new guy. And he said, like, we always knew he was the one, Mom, which is cute.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah,
it's going to be a party, but I'll tell you where the party's not going to be. Austin's Friendsgiving.
And Vanita's like, Friendsgiving? I didn't even know about a Friendsgiving. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's cold, right?
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, Marcy gets invited, but not Vanita. And like, Austin would probably say, like, well, I don't know Vanita. But you, like, how do you know Marcy more, right? I mean,
she's a full-time cast member. That's not cool. He shouldn't be allowed to do
and
that.
And the optics of it are also horrific.
Yeah, you're othering her. Like, what the hell?
I don't understand. I don't understand why. Like why? It's never even brought up. And no one even says, hey, where's Vanita? Like, Vanita's fine with everyone. And it doesn't even matter because there's a lot of other people who have different beefs. So, it just doesn't make sense.
They're icing her. And it looks like Leva's joining them, you know, from the clips from next week. So, that's awkward. So this sucks for her. And she's like, great. You know, that's very interesting. But that's it. That's it for Vanita for this episode. So yeah. Then we go over to Taylor taking groceries into Shep's house. And now the great Shep, but I'm a good person scene.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, gosh. Since all that went down at Auld Brass, which is owned by Joel Silver, sponsored by Ken Burns, of course I regret the whole thing. I mean, I'm just very much trying to be more considerate and more thoughtful and more selfless than I have been in the past. Hey, did you watch Big Brother last night? Everything Kyle said, but for me.
Mm-hmm. So Taylor's like, I'm going to make some broccoli rice and some I'm going to make a broccoli rice casserole and a green bean casserole, which gross to both. And she's like, you can do the easiest thing, banana pudding. And he's like, well, what should I do? Should I peel the bananas? Gosh, it feels good to be a good person.
Yeah. So, and then he starts feeding little Craig some of those Pepperidge Farm Chessmen cookies. And she's like, Chap, no, you don't feed the dog cookies. Gosh, I'm just a good person. I just want to do good things for all the creatures of the world. Gosh.
Okay, so we're just going to fat shame every animal today. Yes, you can feed the fucking dog the pudding. You know what? What the hell?
Well, it's Paula Deen pudding, so I don't know. Maybe like they're like, whoa, well, it is. Because she's like, look up Not Yo Mama's Banana Pudding. I was like, Not Yo Mama's Banana Pudding. I was like, what recipe is this? And I looked it up. It was Paula Deen. I was like, whoa.
That's a southern charm.
Yeah, exactly. It's it really is. But I'm sure it's like delicious. But I'm like, also, it's like, it's just the fact that some of the charm doing Paula Deen is hilarious.
Yeah, only southern charm could serve you problematic banana pudding. You know,
only southern charm could like not invite like one of the two
only black cast lady cast on the lady. Show.
Yeah,
and only make black a Paula Deen recipe in the same. I mean, fucking A, this show. My God.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, she makes, and listen, I say this as a Southern person, those of you who actually consider Southern, Texas Southern, okay? But, yeah, this is some very meemaw food that she's making, okay? She opens a can of fucking cream soup and just pours it over green beans. That's her green bean casserole. Okay, that is her green bean casserole.
No, I know.
I was like, are you going to boil some brisket too, meemaw? Is it Sunday night?
Listen, I know that, like, I know that's like a, like, cream mushroom, all that stuff. I know. The thing is that I just don't really like green bean casserole. I find that I actually generally think green beans are like sad. Like, you know, if they're like roasted, they're better, or like there's certain preparations they're good, or I like them raw, but like a steamed or boiled green bean, I think it's just like floppy and sad, and it doesn't get like, I think even if you add in the mushroom, like the cream of mushroom soup and the cheese, I still think it's a sad casserole. Like, it's not one I would even bring to Vicky.
It is a sad casserole, and it really didn't have a chance just because of the name of it. It's like a jealous bean, you know? I mean, poor I feel
an innocent the green bean. I can't tell if it's green with envy That's or true. Green with naivete.
Yeah, either way, I don't want to eat it.
Either way, you know I mean? Either way,
it's jealous not, or it's new here.
It's like, I don't want to have to teach you. Nor do I want to have to
teach
to, like,
you how to taste good.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to hang out with a bunch of friends who make the recipes on the back of the Campbell soup can, you know?
I mean, sometimes, like, I'm not saying for Campbell soup. Sometimes some of these packaged things that's like the recipe on the back is the best recipe. But I just felt like I'm really with you on this. Like, watching her pour that on the green beans,
just glopped I was on like, there.
I believe that there are probably very delicious green bean casseroles. I just don't know if I believe Taylor's was that delicious. I was like, wow.
It was just such a weird moment because she was such a, you know, like, everybody's rooting for you after the last week, and then this is how you follow up. This is your follow-up move, okay? Paula Deen banana pudding and Campbell soup on top of green beans. Like, I can't, Taylor. I'm trying, Taylor.
Yeah, I kind of thought Taylor would be like an Ina Garten type. I thought she was going to pull out, like, I thought we were going to see, like, barefoot Contessa parties in the background, and she's, like, going to do, like, the whole Ina thing. But no, she's not.
And then Shep's like, I fed the dog a cookie. Oh, God, you want to break up now? Because this is your exit opportunity. And she's like, oh, yeah, Shep, speaking of that, you know, just be aware that when we're around our friends, they don't really understand our banter. Okay, so you've had 3 days, and this is what you come up with, that was just fun banter, that you were sobbing about in the other room?
Yeah, that's hell? Their style. So he's like, gosh, he's like, you know, I don't want people to think we have a bad relationship. I'm learning on the fly. Work in progress. So.
And she's like, yeah, when we banter like that, and then people think, like, he's an asshole to her, and then she just takes it, and that makes me look bad, Shep. So please only emotionally abuse me in private from now on. He's like, yeah. Okay, my little banana. God, I'm doing a good job.
By the way, I'm just going to say this now because I'll probably forget later. One thing that bothered me about the banana pudding ultimately, you know, is that like on the topping, he put like all those Chessmen cookies in like a grid, which was nice. But what bothered me was that the grid itself was not centered in the pan. Did you notice that? Like the margins were not even. Like two sides had like wide margins and two sides had narrow margins, and that drove me nuts.
Well, I would like to call you an anal Annie, but I did notice that those cookies are too thick to be on top of banana pudding. Okay, that's what I noticed. So I guess we're just a couple of queens who need a rest, I think.
This is the energy we're bringing into Long Weekend. Everyone better watch out.
I'm curious about dog shaming, dog fat shaming. There's not even a dog that was fat shamed, okay? But I'm pissed off about it. And soup on green beans.
Yeah.
And now the lining up of cookies
the alignment, on the pudding. You know, well, it was like one of those things where he started the cookies on one edge of the plate. And by the time he got towards the other edge, there wasn't enough room for another column.
Oh,
of
I know
cookies,
what you mean, babe. You know? I have gay eyes. Yeah, I have gay eyes. My thought was, don't ever ask him to tile.
No. You know?
Just don't ever ask him to tile.
I am thinking about that banana pudding, though, because I'm not going to lie. I did look at that recipe and I saw that there was cream cheese involved. And I'm like, all I can think about is cream cheese right now.
I love banana pudding and cream cheese. Okay, cream cheese. I'm chonky. So then we go over to Austin's aunt's house, and like it's nice. His sister Katie's there, and so they're working.
I don't know, the way you said it's nice was like you're like it's nice, like almost like you're like. Like you're about to like just lay into the aunt's house.
I was, and then I was like, really? Get through the recap. You know, like how am I gonna bitch about every little thing that comes on the screen?
The house was nice.
It's nice, yeah. It's just
the unspoken truth about his aunt's house, we dare not say.
Oh God. Okay. So then they're basically setting up and talking about solo cups, and she's doing all the work and he's talking about how hard he's working, but he's just standing there holding a football, which I feel like is
evidence that you're
not
working.
We've all seen that.
That's like literally like you don't have a plate in your hand. You don't have anything you're helping set. You're holding a football and there's no one else there except your sister. There's no reason to hold the football. You were not helping. Right?
Yeah, we all have that guy in our family, you know, who's like, wow, I love doing Thanksgiving, while you're making your sister do everything as you hold the football.
Yeah, and so she sets up a whole table, and she's like, doesn't this centerpiece look so nice? Doesn't it just say Wendy so much? Or is it Wendy and Barbara? Because it's like the mom and the aunt. So Austin's like, the Krolls have been doing Thanksgiving at my Aunt Barbara's house for as long as I can remember, and my Aunt Barbara's house is the epitome of Thanksgiving. Oh my God, I drove across the lawn when I was 17 so many times. It was so Thanksgiving.
So they start talking about how to zest oranges for a while and look for a zester. And then they talk about the pain of the potato masher, because you can never close the drawer. And I have the same potato masher and just used it today from a chickpea salad. Still cannot close the drawer after I dried it off. I was like, damn it, Austin's right.
Yeah, he's right about that. I have a weird masher. I got a masher like 10 years ago from OXO, because you know OXO usually has like really innovative takes on the simple things. And I was like, ooh, OXO has a take on a masher, and instead of being like that wire thing, that like wire zigzag, you know, that we saw, it's kind of like almost like a paddle. It's got a handle, but it's like almost like a paddle with holes in it, and then you press down and the paddle smushes, but then it also, like, the potato goes up into the holes. And I hate it.
I hate whole mashers.
It is so not good. It's like one of the rare OXO failures.
I hate Consumer Reports.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm a big potato person. So I've got three different kinds of mashers.
Yeah. Okay. Don't get the OXO one. Get the classic one that Austin had. Like, that's the one to get.
Yeah. So they talk about how zesting oranges. Like, seriously, I'm reading through these notes and I'm like, wow, I thought
he's like yelling. By the way, Austin's like yelling. This entire episode yells over such basic things. He's like, look, look, it's a zester right there. I'm like, why are you yelling? And he's like, I mean, it's a cheese grater, but it'll work. And she's like, she's like, I can't stand this. Please just leave. Let me just
why are you putting so much orange peel in the thing? Come on, Katie.
Like, yeah, he gets so mad at the zest.
Orange. What the hell?
Has anyone been mad at like too much zest in anything? Like, zest is like the best.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we go over to Craig and Paige, the zestless Craig and Paige, working on their turkey brine. And Craig's like, oh, wow, you look really cute right now. Like, you're not wearing any color. She's like, yeah, like, I'm sorry, but, like, I just can't with the no black anymore. Like, it's just not me.
He's like, well, why don't you wear black down here? She goes, well, because everyone's, like, basic beige Betty down here. And I'm, like, trying to fit in. He's like, yeah, it's a very pastel floral city. Well, that's not beige, Craig, but fine. I'll just say yes, I agree.
He's like, well, I need help taking the turkey out of the vat. She's like, and then what? And then we have to take it to Austin's house. Yeah, I know, Craig. So, like, immediately after, what do we do with it?
Directly after it comes from the brine, are we just putting it on the floor? Like, do we have a plan for where it's going to go?
Well, you know how I feel about touching raw poultry. Because in school, that she knows that.
You know my feelings. And then he gets his Vietnam flashback. He's like, there was like this 200-person chicken dinner at the fire hall when I was in high school. And then they put the cooked chickens back in the boxes that the raw chicken was brought into the kitchen with. And like 130 people were hospitalized. And I think in my head, if you touch a raw bird, you're going to die.
But he'll still go to dinner at the fire hall. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, the fire hall is really the issue. This is such the story that I'd expect to come out of Craig's high school. Like, of course, Craig went to high school someplace where they put cooked chicken in raw chicken boxes and served it.
And I feel like it's a very carefully placed they, because, you know, Craig was like, chicken for 130 people? I'm a chef. I could do it.
What were these boxes? What were these raw chicken boxes, by the way? I'm like... Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I mean, like restaurant, like maybe they just had as much as restaurants, you know, when everything comes in a big box, but still they maybe. Don't, it would be in plastic. It wouldn't just be like rubbing against the cardboard. So I'm not sure, but you're right. It is a little confusing.
I don't understand the whole thing. I'm sure there's a news story and I'm going to look it up. The great Delaware chicken poisoning of 1996.
So stupid. Put fire hall in there. I think that's the keyword you really need to make that search pop.
I'm sorry that the varsity basketball team dinner went awry. So
she's like, okay, well, do you want me just to get it out, Craig? Because I don't have a poultry disorder. And he's like, hold on. It's a big bird. Oh, my God. I'm helping you. Now we're both touching it. Oh, God. She's like, Craig, breathe, Craig.
Tell my mom I love her. Craig, you're okay.
Tell my mother I'm sorry I was discovered by somebody who's not in floral print and pastels.
Tell my mom next time you walk down the aisle in the supermarket, think of me.
And he goes, want to get the gibbards out? She's like, what?
Gibbards.
The gibbards. It's the stuff inside.
Kimmy Gibbler. Do you want to get Kimmy Gibbler out of the turkey?
The gizzards and the giblets or whatever.
Do you want to get together. A gimlet? You want to get a gimlet out of there? They have fresh cocktails inside the turkey? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Espresso et cetera. So she's like, oh my God, I feel like a doctor helping deliver a child. I said I was a doctor once. People bought it for like 4 years. No one got healed for their poultry disease. It was unfortunate. I apologized.
Paging Dr. DeSorbo, we have another pregnant lady who needs her baby taken out. No problem. Here I go. Ah! Oh, I guess I just took out your bowels. Sorry.
That's basically Chris, what are you wearing?
Why are you always hanging around my boyfriend?
Your baby, like, compared to you, your baby's lucky to be coming out naked. I'll just say that.
Congratulations. You have a boring beige baby.
Your baby is officially a basic, boring Betty bitch. Okay? Beige Betty bitch.
Hang down.
So then back at the Aunt Barbara's house, Catherine arrives in like a pink, I don't know, like a pink jacket with a matching hat or whatever.
It's a Catherine look, you know.
She brought meat for the Catherine meatballs. What did she call them? I think she titled them.
Yeah, they're called grape jelly meatballs, which the name really says so much, you know. Like, here we are shading Taylor for making a fairly classic preparation, and now Catherine comes in and she's like, hold my drink. So she's like, I'm making grape jelly meatballs. And so at long last, we get to find out what the hell those meatballs were that she served Caleb several episodes ago. So she's like,
it's one of those small town recipes made with chili sauce, grape jelly, and ketchup. I'm like, ooh, ooh.
This is some Monk's Corner stuff, y'all. I'm like, yeah, you can only serve it to monks because they vowed not to speak. Like, you don't want any reviews getting out on these meatballs. I mean, Jesus. She goes, yeah, and my mom used to also make a pie with Mellow Yellow. You can hate it all you want, but that shit was good. Okay, Mellow Yellow pie sounds different, but it's not grape jelly on a meatball, Catherine.
Yeah. I mean, look, I can understand. I'm sure if you mix chili and grape jelly and ketchup, there's a lot of sweet and tangy and whatever. I can see it maybe working, but like the sound of it is just like putrid. Like, I'm sorry. It's just like, it's horrifying. I will try it and I'd be willing to quote unquote eat my words, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not about it right now.
Yeah. So then Austin is telling them that he's decided to go for Olivia. And he told her, guess where? Old Brass. Okay. So let's just keep saying Old Brass.
Yeah.
So he told her at Old Brass, we should stop the song and dance. We're just trying to make something happen. You know what I mean? And Katie's like, wow. Oh, hey, by the way, did you wash your hands? Please don't touch things with your meat hands.
And he goes, he says, meat is going on this. It's like, okay, yeah, but you're touching other things.
I guess someone's forgotten their lesson about the Delaware Fire Hall poultry disaster of 1996.
Austin, there is literally an Austin-sized handprint on the wall that's red with meat juice. It's giving the wall a high five.
So Craig and Paige arrive. Grage, if you will. Grage. And Paige is like, oh my God, Katie's here. And she's in black and leather. Thank God.
Yeah. And then Austin's like, Craig, how heavy is the turkey? And he goes, 16 pounds. He goes, a 16-pound turkey? I'm like, that's pretty standard, I think. Like 12 to 16 pounds, maybe up to 20. I don't know. Like, I did not think 16 pounds was outrageous for a turkey, but Austin's like mind is blown by it.
And Craig's like, yeah, 16 pounds. Have you ever had a fried turkey? It's fucking amazing. I saw it on TV once. Let's make it.
And Austin goes, no, never. I'm like, why are you yelling at every single thing? And then Craig is like, Craig and Austin go to the car to get stuff. And he's like, we have to get this stuff set up. And Austin again yells. He goes, I know. We have to do this now. I'm like, oh, my God. Chill.
So they set up the fryer, and Austin's like, look, let's just set it up by the pool, and then if something goes wrong with it, we can just kick it in the pool.
Is that how you deal with flaming grease? I feel like my instincts say that's not what you do.
Aunt Barbara is just like slowly cutting herself while she watches this. You know,
like,
she is
locked in the attic or something. Where is Aunt Barbara? This is her house, for crying out loud. She's like up and just watching from a window.
When I saw them put all the hot dishes down on that bare wood table with nothing underneath them, I was like, oh, okay, Aunt Barbara has officially fucking run to Rio or something. Like, she's done with this family.
It's like Risky Business, basically. It's like the Southern Charm version of Risky Business. Like, no, I'm Aunt Barbara says, I'm going away for 2 days. Y'all take care. So
the girls are in the kitchen now because the guys are like, turkey. And so Naomi comes and she's like, oh, hi, Paige. And Paige is like, huh. Just like standing there giving her dirty looks, and she's like, wow, Paige, you look amazing. Guys, could you help me with these? They're heavy. And Paige is like, she goes, I definitely made these dishes myself. And Paige is like,
she's like, I brought a squash casserole and a salad, like, fine, like two reasonable dishes. And Paige is like, which I don't like that. What, you don't like salad? or squash casserole. She's like, I don't like it. I don't like that.
Which definitely is, don't like that. Like, who so says rude. That? What the fuck is wrong with you? Who says now that? I know why you don't go to fucking Friendsgiving. You're like, jeez.
I know. We don't need, like, freaking Paige Malakshmi giving these, like, off-the-cuff reviews.
Did you mean to squash a casserole?
Bless
while
her
you're
heart.
Wearing beige?
Did you mean to look way. So basic while you made this squash casserole?
So Nadine just kind of, Naomi just smiles like with question marks in her eyes, you know, and then Catherine loves this, of course, because she hates Naomi. So she's like, so anyway, Paige, like, do you want a drink? And Katie goes, yeah, we have bourbon Prosecco punch. And Naomi's like, where's Austin? They say he's drinking outside. And Naomi goes, this is really good, actually, this punch. It's very bourbon heavy. And Paige goes, I don't think I like bourbon.
Bourbon is the squash casserole of alcohols.
You're really going hard with your food proxy war.
I know. But also, like, considering that there's so much discussion about how Naomi is the crazy ex and she just is, like, out of control, it's like Paige is the one who's acting certifiably bonkers right now.
She's
like,
acting crazy.
Like, dissing squash casserole. It's so random. So Naomi's
it's
like,
so funny. It's so funny because Naomi is just like, this girl, like, I'm supposed to be afraid of her. I dated Craig for 6 years, you know?
Yeah, if anything, I'm sure Naomi feels sympathy for her because she knows what's coming. So Naomi's like, she's like, I would say it's pretty obvious that Paige doesn't seem too pleased with me. So, and then Naomi's like, Naomi asks Paige, goes, so did you just like fly down here? And Paige goes, mm-hmm. And then drink some water slowly. She goes, Thursday I got here.
Yeah, because Naomi goes, so you came down here. That's cool. So did you just come down here for the week? I mean, the weekend, I guess. Meaning like it's a long weekend. And Paige goes, Thursday I got here. And she's like, yeah, I mean, duh, right? So she's all nervous. And she's like, yeah, I have no idea what Craig has said to her. But I'm trying to be friendly and copacetic. And I feel like my mom just saw my cat's weight gain. So not really sure what's up.
So outside, Austin is continuing to lose his mind. Let's get the peanut oil boiling, Craig. It's a massive, insane bird. God, massive bird. So Austin tells us, Craig acts like he knows what he's doing, but I know somewhere back there he doesn't know what he is doing. And Craig's like, I know what I'm doing. I've just never done it before, but I've been with people that did it. What you do is you cook the turkey, and when it's done, you just put it on like the styrofoam tray that the raw turkey was in, and it should be cool.
He's like, yeah, don't get oil on the side because oil is flammable and we like don't want oil to hit the flame. So watch out for that. Because, you know, like I'll say that the margin of error is small and it could possibly explode.
I was like, well, you definitely should have said that because it definitely just splashed. I'm like, okay.
And he goes, if it's not thawed, then like it'll start like getting hot and then it'll shoot up to the moon. And then like sometimes like the fire from it could like catch the deck on fire. And then sometimes like the deck can catch the house on fire. This is who they're fighting over. Okay?
I know. The many subtleties of fire spreading. So Shep and Taylor show up and Paige is like, hi, Shep. And Shep is like, hi, Paige. Oh, I'm going to start calling you Sky Miles. She's like, yeah, I'm almost at silver. Oh.
Taylor's like, hi, everybody. Shep made banana pudding all by himself. Isn't that cute? He's like, yeah, I thought this is the cutest dish that's ever been made. Gosh, Taylor, I just have so much respect for you.
Yeah. Isn't our in front of people banter so loving now? So now, meanwhile, Craig and Austin are trying to light this this burner for the deep frying process, and they can't because there's windy. So Craig is like, oh, stupid. We need a windshield. So he tells Austin to hold up. He gives Austin like the pot lid, and he's like, here, hold this here. And Austin's like, literally a shield. Oh my god. Like everything is pissing off Austin today.
Oh my god, someone's coming in. I wonder who it is. I'm pregnant. It's like, oh, geez, here's Marcy. So Marcy comes in with John, and then begins Marcy's storyline for the episode.
Yeah, this is a family recipe. We have to brown the marshmallows.
Yeah, that's her arc. Well, listen, I decided to make sweet potato casserole because I figure I'll be making a lot of soft, mashed, pureed foods because I'm pregnant.
So Shep's like, whoa, is that a family recipe? She's like, yeah, I mean, I'm adding to the family, so I figured why not add another dish?
One marshmallow for every person in our family tree.
I was going to do pig in the blanket, but I thought that was a little on the nose. So I'm doing pregnant sweet potatoes instead.
He's like, whoa, gosh. So then Leva comes over and she's like, oh my God, my arm is going to fall off because like Craig told me he needs a lot of gravy. So that's what I brought.
And then we get a flashback of her making gravy, which felt unnecessary, but I guess they needed to, like, we should probably give something to Leva. So here she is chopping onions. So then Olivia shows up with her pot of mashed potatoes, and which she really should have made there, not ahead of time, but that's fine. And
well, she's not going to bring her mother to the place because, you know, Olivia didn't make that shit. Come on.
Yeah, enjoy your vodka and mashed potatoes. That's what that's going to be.
Bunny's at home like, darn it, I can't close this drawer, stupid masher. I'm going to have a drink. It's only 3 p.m., but as long as nobody tells my husband.
So Shep goes to the backyard, and Austin's like, Shep, I have the bird in my hand. Oh, gosh, a bird in the hand is worth two in the pot. Oh.
So they start making fun of Craig because Craig said he knows what he's doing. And Shep's like, yeah, Craig has this weird thing where he acts like he knows what he's doing in the cooking arena, and he really doesn't. So, yeah, I'm terrified that Craig's in charge. And then we see the clip of Craig being like, I'm the barbecue master. Okay, okay, so you don't grow it out of grass? Okay, burn it. Just light a match and throw it on top of it.
The lack of expertise is alarming. You're the architect of your own demise.
So then Craig goes into the kitchen to get something. And Naomi's like, oh, hey, Craigie. And he's like, yeah, good job, Craig. Good job.
And so then and then Paige goes to the backyard and she sees the table. She's like, wait, this is actually really cute. This is like so cute. Are all Friendsgivings like this? It's so cute. Oh my God. I hate to think that this cute table is going to be ruined by disgusting squash casserole.
So she sits with Catherine and because Catherine loves her now, you know, Catherine's like, yeah, I get to watch somebody take down Naomi. So then Naomi, this is intercut with Naomi and Olivia going to the bar. So Catherine's like, so are you having a good time? And she's like, like the full group for me is a lot. And also Naomi isn't fooling anyone. Like she walks in like, hey girl, hey, you look so pretty. And I'm like, girl, we're not friends. And you're going to get with my boyfriend? Like, I'm not going to fuck with you. And if I was like not around a Friendsgiving, I would have already popped off at her. Okay. I would have popped.
Catherine's like, yes. Catherine's like clapping. She's so excited. I just don't know.
What the fuck are you talking about? Someone said, hi, you look pretty, and you're ready to rip their fucking heads off? Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's not fooling anyone. What are you talking about? So now the turkey is in the pot. So now Paige is like, Craig, you're so good. And then Olivia is talking to Naomi, and she's like, how are you and Paige? And Naomi's like, I definitely picked up some weird energy from Paige today, but I could also be in a sensitive place because my mom was fat shaming my cat again, so it's hard to really know.
She's like, yeah, like, it was weird energy. Like, I said hello to Craig, and then he, like, turned his back. Weird. So then back to Paige. She's like, oh, my God, it's so weird. I'm not really here for fake nice. Like, as a girl, she does some shady shit. I love that Paige is always waving this girls, like girl power. It's all girls, girls, girls. And if you're not like good to a girl, then you're like not even a girl. Like, what kind of girl are you? You're like not into girl power? Like, what? But Paige is the worst shamer of other girls.
Yeah, she's like the first to undermine this relationship right here. So Catherine's like, I'm glad you see it. And Paige is like, yeah, like when we were at Patricia's for the dog wedding. No. I meant I'm glad you see that I put grape jelly in my meatballs. No one ever believes I do that. Oh, yeah, that's disgusting. Anyway, when we were at Patricia's for the dog wedding, she pulled him aside. And like, that was like one of the most inappropriate things ever. Like, she sat down with him and had a conversation with him. That is like disgusting. That is like squash casserole topped with your grape jelly meatball recipe. No offense.
So then back to Naomi. She's like, I mean, there's like no feelings. There's nothing there. Like, I don't know what to do because I think like things have been misconstrued. And then back to Catherine. She's like, if that was me, like if I was Naomi, I would walk in here with egg on my face because like I would be embarrassed. Well, but also, I probably broke an egg on my face. I've done that before. It's awkward. You know, it's awkward, but sometimes I just don't organize the fridge very well.
Were you playing egg toss with Shep? So then Paige is like, I just wouldn't have the balls to put someone's boyfriend, pull someone's boyfriend aside. Like, I'll send a secret text like a normal person.
And Catherine's like, yeah, I think that Naomi just thinks that like Craig wants her back. Like, stop trying to insert yourself in someone's happiness because you want attention. Like, annoying. Like, another reason, again, I think she's like a petty little bitch. She's a petty little bitch.
Like, literally, like, Naomi is just like, hey, Craig. Wow. Look at her looking for attention. What a petty little bitch saying hello.
And Paige is like, yeah, I've acted like a peach, but if she says, let's talk about this, I'm going to be like, bitch, enough.
if she wants to have a reasonable conversation with Craig to clear the air, I'll be like, bitch, you are out of control. You want attention. You're not a fucking peach the way I am.
I was in court today, and then the other counsel was like, judge, can we have a sidebar? And I was like, no, stop fucking stalking me. Okay, I have a girlfriend.
Yeah, I was like on my Bank of America site today to look at my accounts, and then like something popped up that was like, need help, need to chat with us. And then Paige was like, who are you talking to? And I was like, this fucking needy ass bank, they're so jealous.
I was ordering an omelet at the diner, which I know some people really don't think is a good name for a cat, but, you know, that's neither here nor here. So, like, I was ordering an omelet, and the waitress was like, can I bring you a side? And I was like, I have a girlfriend, stalker, all right?
Yeah, I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to Tevin Campbell, and he was singing that song, Can We Talk? And I was like, get away from me, needy singer, on the radio.
So then Austin starts throwing his football and breaks the fence. Or Shep breaks. Someone breaks the fence.
No, it was Austin. Austin threw the football from like way up above. And
poor Aunt Barbara.
And her beautiful picket. You know that this is going to like shatter her life. Like, this is the part in the movie where like everything in Aunt Barbara's life is perfect. And then like a little piece of her picket fence breaks off. And then like everything unravels in her life. She's like disheveled, standing in the middle of traffic in like a nightgown. Being like, my fence.
The unraveling of Aunt Barbara. So Shep's like, I got it, they'll never notice. And he just puts the little tip of the fence back on. And so they check on Craig. And Craig's like, hey, baby, what's our total, baby? And Paige is like, hold on, because like I'm TikToking you, Instagram living you, and running the timer at the same time. Oh, my God, you're like so talented. Can I pull you aside? That's right. That's what boyfriends say to girlfriends.
Yeah, and Austin's like, Craig, you say baby so much now. And Paige goes, sorry, he's in love. So then they pull the turkey out, which looks amazing. And then now everyone's dishes, it's like that rush after the turkey comes out when everyone all of a sudden wants to be in the oven. So things are coming in and out and everything. And Shep and Taylor take like her casserole out together. And he's like, Taylor, don't drop it like an egg. Don't even look. You idiot.
My love. Gosh, I've really turned this one around. And Marcy's like, wait a minute. I gotta brown the marshmallows.
We've reached act three of my storyline.
Can I brown these now? They're like, Jesus Christ, Marcy.
So I'm so glad you picked up on that also. I was like, I love that she keeps talking about her marshmallows. So
so funny. So Olivia and Austin are now talking about how there's like, they hope there's no drama today. And Austin's like, really? Because, like, Paige and Naomi? Like, have you seen that? Like, Paige and Naomi? But we're trying to have a whisper conversation here. I'm whispering! What?
So, yeah. So now everyone's like, Craig's carving the turkey and food's coming out. Casseroles, hot casseroles on raw wood tables, all that good stuff.
And Austin eats with his mouth. Oh, I hate how Austin eats. He eats like this. He puts a turkey in his mouth. He's like... it just makes me crazy. You sound like a monkey jerking off at the zoo. Stop it.
But you know what's also like a total reflection of like Shep and Craig's total lack of respect for someone else's property? It was that at one point, Shep is standing up on the balcony and he throws a wine bottle down to Craig across a swimming pool. And Craig catches it. It was like very close to not catching it. And I'm like, that shit could have broken, glass could have gone flying and kind of flying into the swimming pool. And when you get glass into a swimming pool, it's like a whole thing, right? Like, don't you have to like drain it or whatever? I don't know what you do when glass breaks in a swimming pool, but I know it's drama. And I'm like, these fucking guys, just bring that wine down to Craig.
Poor Aunt Barbara.
Yeah.
So they all sit down and Olivia's like, oh my God, look at that sunset. God's showing off again tonight. So they sit down and they're going to do a cheers.
Is he really showing off? He's like, look what the Lord made. Oh, look what the Lord made.
God's like, I love a juxtaposition.
I call this high-low.
This is where the game Rose and Thorn comes from. You're welcome, my children.
Like, is that Chris Samuels? Anyway.
Oh, sorry, I was having some Topo Chico. Oh, how refreshing. Gosh.
Let it refresh. Look what the Lord made, Topo Chico. So, can't spell Topo Chico without which is also a Lord. So, everyone is sitting for dinner, and then Austin's like, okay, guys, I want to make a toast. I just want to say things that I'm thankful for. Katie, I love that you're in town early. I adore everyone at this table, and I hate everyone who's not at this table, specifically Madison, but I'll extend it to Vanita, because why not? So this is why I wanted everyone to be here. You're welcome. Now, excuse me while my lips continue moving while I finish this toast.
He's such an asshole. I'm so mad at him for not inviting Vanita. That's so shitty.
It is really shitty.
So then they do a cheers, and then Shep brings out the broccoli casserole. He's like, oh my God, Taylor, just put it down, you fucking not idiot. Oh God, do I get a point for that?
Yeah. Like, this casserole's really good. Wow, this casserole's good. This casserole's really good. Because it's actually just like a meal of 10 different casseroles. So everyone's made a casserole. This casserole's great. I hate it. I hate this squash casserole. Who here hates this casserole as much as I do? It's the worst thing at the table, right?
It's like the only casserole I hate right now at this table. Whoever made this one.
This casserole is like buying something from Zara full price. Disgusting. Shouldn't even be in our consciousness.
I can tell you what, that bait shop is out of Campbell's soup, okay? Because everyone stopped on their way over.
Everyone did.
So they all do group picks and stuff, and then Taylor like slides in front of Shep's face, and he's like, oh, Taylor, Gar, I sure like you deeply.
Yeah. Also, I forgot to mention that Austin goes, I think this group could use a nice meal to bring us all together, except for Vanita, and remind us that we're all thankful to be with each other, except for Vanita, and we don't always have to yell and bitch at each other, huh, like Madison does.
So then they're, you know, they take more pictures, and Naomi's taking one of the whole table. She's sitting at the end of the table, and she's like, okay, another group pick. Craig, smile. And Paige goes, is this bitch for real right now? Who tells someone's boyfriend to smile? Who does that?
I know. Like, I can't even believe it. He asked for a photo and she took the photo. Like, what a crazy craven bitch.
Ooh. So then the Leva is like, oh my God, my ears are cold. So she puts a napkin on her head. She's like, oh my God, let's do it, guys, and we can take pictures because it's Thanksgiving. So Naomi puts one on, and I think Olivia, I don't know.
Yeah, they look like little babushkas, right? They look like little, like, they've tied them, you know, like little, like, yeah, from the old country.
Craig, yeah, and I'm sure they were going for, like, pilgrims
or whatever. That's what they said they were trying.
So Craig goes, look at the cultural appropriation happening right now. I mean,
What, are we just, like, begging for pilgrims to cancel us? I mean, what the fuck?
Oh, suddenly he's so enlightened. Suddenly someone on this cast is enlightened about, like, quote-unquote enlightened.
Not asking where the only black cast member is. But it's the offending the pilgrims that's the problem here. Listen, this is 2022. No one is defending the pilgrims, sir.
Pilgrims are not monolith. So Craig is like, you're gonna get canceled. Do not post those photos, and which is hilarious because they're being filmed for Bravo. You guys shouldn't post those photos. You'll be canceled. What, by like the Babushka League of America? Like,
the pilgrims are gonna cancel you guys. The
Plymouth Rock Society. So then
I'd like to go on record as saying this is man fair. Okay. Man fair.
So they're like, Craig, you're an idiot. Like, what a fucking moron. So they're like, what is he even talking about? He's like, oh my God, how can Naomi be so stupid?
How could she flaunt her privilege, her non-pilgrim privilege right now? So Naomi's like, he's not upset about that. He's upset about something else, but blaming it on the pilgrims, which is, by the way, a really funny concept. So Shep is like, gosh, I thought it was Handmaid's Tale. So, which is actually like another out that they had. It was just how Handmaid's Tale, which by the, I don't know.
I was going to start fapping. All right, carry on. So then inside, Leva, Shep's like, whoa, what's going on? And she's like, he's upset about handkerchiefs. He's like, I think it had to do with settlers.
You're glorifying colonialism right now with those napkins on your head. She's like, my ears were cold.
So then Katie is like, what was that? And Naomi's like, Paige is mad at me or hates me. I don't even know what's going on, but like, why? Like, this is terrible. I mean, I guess I should have expected this, but I need to nip it in the bud. Okay, I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna pull somebody aside. Well, if there was a live audience there, they'd go, no, don't do it.
So Naomi is like, hey Paige, do you want to talk? Oh my God. Squash face wants me to talk. This is so vile. Okay. I mean, I don't know what we have to talk about, but yeah, sure. I would love to. Also note, everyone, she is wearing beige. She is wearing beige today.
Okay, Betty. What do you want to talk about? And Craig goes, my crazy ex-girlfriend wants to have a conversation with my girlfriend. Oh my God.
And like, Craig, calm down. Leva goes, don't say crazy ex-girlfriend. He goes, Leva, stop. She goes, I mean, it's a little severe, Craig. And he's like, don't get involved in my shit. Okay.
Says the guy who just tried to police her napkin wearing.
Jeez. So he tells us, yeah, she's already pulled me aside, and now she's pulling aside my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend from years ago. Don't try to make drama with the current girlfriend. You fucked her like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Please. Okay.
Yeah, seriously. So Naomi's like, okay, so I noticed you weren't eating my squash casserole, which honestly comes from France, which is pretty cool, and you seem like someone who'd be into that. So I think something's wrong.
I hate France, so...
Okay, I know you're lying because you're dressed like a French person right now. So anyway, as a real French person, I want to talk to you because clearly there's a disconnect if you're feeling uncomfortable and stuff.
And then Paige just squints at her and sips. Like, she gives her soap opera look like she's on Summer House. And Naomi's just like, she's just watching her make faces like, okay. And Paige finally has to talk. So she's like, okay, look, like, when I first meet people, I like them because, like, I really don't know enough about them to use against them yet. So, like, why not?
But then when you come up to Craig at Patricia's and then you pulled him aside and you say, you're not going to come around anymore if it makes him uncomfortable, that insinuates that there's feelings there.
Which it does not insinuate that at all.
No, it doesn't.
If anything, it insinuates that Craig has feelings, by the way. So Naomi's like, that's not how I meant that. She's, well... Do you feel that when Craig is around that he treats you differently because I'm there? She goes, yeah. Well, so that also insinuates that you have some sort of relationship. I'm like, okay, Perry Mason, you're really getting down to the bottom of literally nothing right now.
She keeps thinking she's getting all these clues figured out. Oh, well, that also insinuates that you have a relationship. And Naomi just laughs and she goes, no, there's no relationship. I mean, I feel like you're sort of coming at me. She goes, I'm not coming at you. You asked to speak with me. I didn't ask to speak with you. So she goes, yeah, I did. I did pull you aside. She goes, yeah, and look, if I was coming after you, you would definitely know it. You would definitely know it. I would say that I don't like casserole or bourbon.
And your cat is fat. Whoa, have you been talking to my mom? Yes, I have, actually.
Chonky's not even a word. Stop trying to push Chonky.
So Naomi, so it's like, so she asked, do you still have feelings for Craig? And Naomi's like, no. No, like, not at all.
Goes, oh. I have to say, because this scene is so good. So Naomi just makes this face at her like, yikes. I mean, she looks like she's watching a child have a tantrum in a Chili's. Like, she's just looking at her like, what is wrong with this girl? And Paige just pauses and squints more and does, like, the lip thing. And she's like, okay, I'll call it out. Do you have feelings for Craig still? And she's like, how do I say fuck no? He's disgusting and a compulsive liar and looks like an old Michael Kors leather bag left out in the rain.
And
like,
how do I say that without pissing her
off? On top of it all, he doesn't know how to handle poultry. How do I say that to this girl?
And so she's like, no. And Paige goes, but the optics of it, it looks like you do. Like, no, doesn't really look like that at all. Just because to her, to Paige it does, because Craig keeps saying, she totally likes me. She's always following me around. So, of course, Paige is going to see that, you know?
Yeah, so Naomi tells us, this is pointless. Like, I get that Paige thinks that Craig is this, like, shiny, perfect guy, but, I mean... So then Paige is like, Paige sees what's happening here, right? Because Naomi's not reacting how she wants. She wants Naomi to have this big reaction, and then they can have this big fight, and Paige can make this big scene, and then she could, you know, do the whole summer house thing. And Naomi is just looking at her like she's a fucking idiot. And I also have to give credit while I'm standing up for Naomi. Naomi is not falling into the trap, because I think what she's expected to do is be like, Craig's a fucking loser. He lied about going to law school for 5 years. I supported him while he sat around the house doing fucking nothing but pushing my cat around in a wheelbarrow and trying to learn, you know, hurting his fingers on a cheap ass sewing machine he got at Walmart. The guy did fucking nothing for you. No, I don't want fucking Craig. Meanwhile, he's dating you and fucking me in Vegas. Why would I want that loser back? But instead, she does it. Yeah. She doesn't say anything bad about Craig. She doesn't tattletale on Craig and try to make, you know, show what an asshole he's being by lying to Paige's face. She just, like, kind of sits there and lets Paige do her thing. So Paige knows she hasn't won this one.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I don't know you very well, except for the fact that you're obviously crazy. And I can say that when I met you, I liked you because I didn't know you'd make squash casserole for tonight. So I thought you were cool. And I can say that, like, I've dealt with girls my whole life and they flip. I'm like, well... If girls are always flipping in her life, maybe it's not the girls. Maybe it's Paige.
I think this is like kind of the essence of what has been bugging me about Paige is that she acts like she's this girl's girl, but it's only girls that she has considered like worthy of her clique. Every other girl she fucks over and she treats like shit, you know? So it bugs me. It's like, you're not a girl's girl when you say, yeah, girls suck. Like, I've dealt with girls my whole life and they flip. And she's like, and like, you guys dated 4 years ago? Okay, this is where she starts turning it around for me. So now I'm going to switch again because now I'm going to love Paige by the end of this. So she's like, I mean, you guys dated 4 years ago, and so you have a pass, and I know you hooked up this summer, and I know there was a pass there, so it's not crazy for me to think that you still have feelings for Craig. And like, what happened at Patricia's was me thinking that. And Naomi just is like, okay, yeah, so. She goes, so you saying it won't, I won't come around the group if it makes you uncomfortable? Like, what did you mean by that? And she's like, well, I meant if there's a group event and you're there, like, it was really more for you. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable.
She's like, oh. Well, you should have just come up to me. I mean, I thought you were cool. And If you thought I was uncomfortable, that is news to me. I mean, so if you had actually come up to me and said that, I would have like fucking got it. And like, you, and like, look, you are like my boyfriend's ex. We are never going to be best friends, but I want to be with you in settings like this, preferably without squash casserole, and be like, where did you get those pants? Like, it's not my personality to hold grudges. Okay. It's like, so let's like be cool. And I like, I think you're pretty and like, I think you're funny and I want to borrow your clothes and like, let's do it. Let's like be friends. Cool.
Yeah, it's like, okay, there, all better. Now I like
all Paige. Better. Every page became reasonable again. Like the veil was lifted. The page that we always loved is back.
Yeah, she's like, look, like we're not gonna be best friends, but I want to say like, I love your pants. Where'd you get those? Like, that's so Paige. And also, it just reminded me by the end that she has been. You know,
she's
being lied to by fucking Craig, right? She thinks Naomi's this horrible monster and Naomi's not doing anything. And Naomi's whole attitude during this fight killed me, just sitting there going, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And Naomi's like, well, I think you're such a badass. And Paige goes, thanks. You have great taste in people. Not in casseroles, yeah. Though.
Yeah, so I'm very thankful that that worked out.
I'm thankful too.
But I was so pissed watching it, and then by the end, I was like, "Oh, okay, love you both."
But Paige was being mean. Like, even if she had been fed information by Craig, she was being really mean. Like, that was so rude of her to say that about the casserole. It was so rude.
Yeah, she's childish, you know, but she's Paige. Like,
no, she's still young.
Yeah. But I was glad it worked out. What a lovely ending to a Friendsgiving episode, yeah. Except for Vanita.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, well, thanks everyone for being here. Again, we're off on Monday, so we'll have all our new content on Tuesday. Also, the bonus episode this week, which will be going up later today, is going to be the recap of the part one of the Real Housewives of Dubai reunion. So you can catch that on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatrappens. So we'll catch you after the long weekend. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, it's Jennifer Corcoran.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills, paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.